On this team, we fight that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch.
Coming in at 320 kilobytes per second, it's time for Matty C's Sports for you and me.
What the fuck is up? They ain't touching me for nothing. Gang shit is not my business. I ain't not the one to fuck with.
All right, everybody. Matty C Sports. It is season 4, episode 1. And I have a special guest from Evolution Athletics up in Maine. I have Lindsay Kelly. This girl's on tearing streak in 2023 and took care of business in over here in different states. So how you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm living the dream as always. So, man, like,
I'm going right now. I can't get my car out of the driveway.
I know. We got slush over here, so it's like a mix and it sucks. But what can you do? It's New England.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
So, man, you've been on a tear since March and you haven't stopped. So, I mean, you know, you had a slow start. I wouldn't say slow because I can't do this shit. You guys can do all that. But how was it just getting back in the groove and you really started to change your whole fight style? And, you know, it's probably a different transition coming from Muay Thai to, you know, fighting how you are now, just beast mode. So tell me, like, when you returned to Cage Titans in March, you know, did you feel like you needed to get that win at that certain spot, or was it like it was just another day in the office there? I mean, you made it very clear that you were there that night, and I saw you personally do that yourself.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I did start off 0-2, so I felt like I needed to, like, not necessarily prove to anybody else, but prove to myself that I belonged out there. And I felt like I had, like, a fire under my ass after my first two losses. Like, the first one was whatever. The second one was what really made me be like, all right, like, this is, like, I'm getting my experience. I'm getting my time in here. And it's funny because I had so many people who were like, oh, like, you're doing such a great job. Like, don't quit. Like, all this stuff. And I was like, quit. And I was like, what do you mean quit? Like, I'm not going to quit. But I think a lot of people who don't do MMA see, like, these kind of sports, like, very much on, like, a wins and losses base. And especially in amateurs, I feel like it's more about the experience. It's not just about the win or the loss. Like, you're going in there and, like, whether we win or lose at Evolution, Nate always finds stuff for us to work on. Like, it doesn't matter. You could win in the first 30 seconds and he'll still find stuff that we can all work on. And that's just a testament to him as a coach. But I think that, like, going out there, I felt like I really had something to prove to myself more than anything. And I was really happy because it was cool to see how far I've come. Cause again, I did start out with striking. I didn't, like, do a whole lot of ground game in the beginning. And then the more I did with Nate and the more, like, cage work and groundwork that I did, I feel like that was just, like, a really good display of, like, how Evolution's ground game, like, goes once we get there. You know what I mean?
And you sure performed well that night. I got to see you live at that point. I saw you at Combat Zone. I wasn't there, but, you know, I saw it on, you know, live stream, and just a whole different fighter in you. And, you know, you really came and went to work. And I've said it to every one of your teammates that I've interviewed. I said, you guys are just going to own Indiana soon because you guys are just taking over that place. It's crazy. So, I mean, like, it seems like I've never seen so much of a family atmosphere at that gym. And, you know, you guys welcome people with open arms and stuff like that. And it's a beautiful facility, of course. So, I mean, what's it like having, you know, your coach, Tyler, Julian, and all the rest of your team being there, and an appearance by Cam Arnold here and there?
It's honestly, it's great. Like, and it's not just the fighting team, it's the Brazilian jiu-jitsu team as well, like all the guys who do all the grappling and stuff. It's also Nate had added, after the pandemic, he had added, like, a CrossFit program, which I think is doing really well right now. And even the people in the CrossFit program, like we're all family. Like it, like we have our little spaces, but we're all family, and we've all really like integrated really well with each other. And to have like not only like a really good core group of people to work with, but a really great set of like coaches to work with. Like beyond just Nate, there's Kramer, CJ, Bruce, Taylor. Like there's just always good coaching around us. And if I'm having like a hard time with something, I can go to like CJ or Kramer and be like, all right, I'm having a hard time with this like jiu-jitsu move, and I can talk to them about it, and they can give me like four different things to help me work on it. If I'm having a hard time with something with striking or like with cage work or something, I can go to Nate and be like, please help me, or Bruce, or anybody like that. And they can all explain it to you in a different way and give you different perspectives, which is so important. And I'm really like grateful and thankful that I have that like opportunity at Evolution. But my teammates, it's really, especially going to Indiana, like there's like, once you make the walk for your first time and like you're out back with everybody, and then even going to Indiana and like being on an airplane, like I made this joke with my parents where I was like, I didn't know any of these guys like 3 years ago, and now I'm getting on a plane to go to Indiana to go fight in a cage halfway across the country with them. And they're like, I mean, it's like a second family to me. And I think that's what the sport has definitely done. And I think Nate has definitely done a good job, like building that and letting that environment like grow. Cause the people who are there, the core group of people, we're all so welcoming. We're also like chill. We're good training partners, all that stuff. And we all care about each other, and we all care about like seeing each other win, which I think is huge in itself. So.
And I mean, one of your teammates, Mo Kalani, was part of one of the Cage Titans awards, you know, with the fight of the year, which it really was. That was a banger of a fight.
Oh, yeah, and, it
was. And, you know, Tyler was coming into Cage Titans and just wrecking people. And, you know, Julian has progressed so well from the Muay Thai experience, which he's an unbelievable Muay Thai fighter.
Yeah.
And then he goes into the cage and just does the exact same thing. So it's like you all are on a consistent basis where you guys help each other and all that stuff. And from Combat Zone compared to Cage Titans from that period of time, like I saw your fight game like definitely improve, and it was crazy good to see. Like your all around game last November was unreal. I was like, wow, she's a totally different fighter from when I saw her at Cage Titans.
Yeah, no, that it, I think there was it's hard. It's funny because when I fought in Indiana, and I got my second win, I ended up tearing my MCL. And I remember I could have gotten like super down about it. And I could have been like, oh, this sucks. Like I was like really like on a good groove at this point, but I stayed really positive. And in 4 months, I went from when my physical therapist got like evaluated me, he said he thought it was going to be a grade 3 tear where I might have needed surgery, but it ended up being only a grade 2. And in 4 months, I was back to training full time. And I give that, I mean, it sounds corny, but the power of positive thinking, like I think that completely changed my recovery and allowed me to get back in the swing of things so quickly, on top of the fact that I just like hammered away at all the PT that I was doing. But to go from that to have an injury and then to still continue to progress the way that I was, like every fight that I had from my first one all the way up until my last one, I felt like there was a different perspective. I just felt more solid. I felt like I had things are just starting to click for me. Like when I'm in the cage, I'm listening to Nate and I'm hearing things and I'm understanding how different like fighting is compared to just sparring. Like there's a total difference, and I can feel it in the way that I train. I can feel it. Like it's no longer just like, oh, I'm doing this and I like want to fight. Like every time I go at the gym, I'm training like a fighter. Like I'm training like, okay, this is a fight. Like I'm going to, like I'm changing. Once I changed all of my training, that was when I really felt like a difference. And stepping into the cage last time, it's interesting because the walk out is always so, it's probably one of the most surreal things I'll have. Like it's the moment when the guy comes back and like calls your name and they're like, all right, we're ready for you. And then you make the walk. And I was standing out back waiting to walk out. And I turned around and I saw my whole team behind me. And I remember just thinking like, wow, I'm so lucky to have a team like this, like literally in my corner. Like it was probably one of the coolest things. Like everyone was there, like Ben, Julian, Tyler, Mo, like everybody was in my corner, and then Nate and CJ, of course. And to have that much support, it just means so much. Like whether we win or lose, I was having a conversation with my teammate Teddy one time after one of his losses, and he said, like, we're here to support each other whether we win or lose or not. Like it doesn't matter, like, the outcome. We all do the sport, we understand what it is, and we're there win or lose to support. And I think that's really important, because again, people who don't do MMA, they don't understand that, like, the game isn't just about the win or the loss, especially at an amateur level. It's really about getting experience and improving your game. If you can look at one fight, like if you can look at, like, let's say my fight in March all the way compared to, like, my fight in November, if you can see a difference, that I'm doing something right, like my coaches are doing something right. And that's the goal. We don't ever want to walk out and be the same fighter. We want to keep continuing to evolve and be better fighters every single time we step into the cage.
And tell me, so you had your PT, but did you have the Evolution PT too?
So at my gym, we have soccer play physical therapy that's, like, attached to our gym. So we get, like, a free evaluation for being a member. And then a lot of times, whenever, if we get hurt, we just go to that PT. So it's just right at our gym anyways. I was doing that, like, 3 times a week, and then doing the exercises, like, on my own as well. So that was one of the reasons. It's just super convenient to have them there.
Yeah. That's just an all around good place. It seems like just,
yeah,
a whole mix of everything.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, with that, I mean, going to Indiana and stuff, I mean, you, everywhere you guys literally go, whether you guys are fighting or not, you guys are, like, there's, like, 10 of you. And then, then 5 of the 10, I'm like, hey, what's up, Tyler? Hey, what's up, Julian? Hey, what's up, Lindsay? Hey, I'm like, holy Jesus Christ, these guys are all, they don't literally go anywhere without each other, like, even down here to Massachusetts. And I don't, what made you guys go to Indiana? That's my big question.
I don't remember specifically how Nate is tied into the Lee brothers, but they've been friends for a little while. And I think that was basically, like, once they, because the Art of Scrap promotion is still really young. I think the last one was, like, the 7th one. So it's still, like, a new promotion. I don't remember how they know each other, but Nate and Mike and Chris Lee have been friends for a little while. And I think that's how we ended up getting connected with them. Cause it is, it's super random. Cause it's like, why are you going out to Indiana? But I mean, their promotion is great. They do a fantastic job, and it's quite the experience. The first time I went, back in April, it was like my first time, like, I used to travel for sports a lot, but it was my first time going out and doing that. And it was pretty wild. We get out there and we fly into Chicago. We make, like, I think it's like 3.5 hours from Chicago to Fort Wayne. We make that drive, and to go through airport security and make that drive while you're, like, cutting weight is definitely interesting. But once we get out there, it's all fun. Like, it's such a team bonding experience, in a way that I've never really had before. But you're right, because we all go out together. Like, even when we're in Indiana, everyone at home, the jiu-jitsu guys, the CrossFit guys, like, all of them, they all, like, set up at the gym and, like, stream the fights and watch them together. Or they'll go to, like, a restaurant to watch them together. So they have, like, a huge crowd at home watching us, like, out there when they can't physically go to the fights, which I think is cool. But even, like, if one person is fighting at Combat Zone or one person is fighting at Cage Titans, we'll all go. It's one of those things where, if we can, we will. And I know how important having people like that in your corner is. Like, sometimes we see, like, people showing up to, like, fighters showing up to fights, like, by themselves or, like, with one person, or, like, not, like, being able to do a weight cut, like, with other people. Because, like, having that support and at least knowing that your teammate is there, it changes everything. It changes the mentality. Mm-hmm. It means so much to, like, go to a fight and see all of my teammates who aren't fighting, like, there to support me and there to support my other teammates who are. It's pretty rare, in my opinion.
I mean, it's I my opinion on that, like, so I have a boxing world and an MMA world where it involves, like, me. I'm calling state commissions to see, hey, because one of my boxer friends is going to fight soon. And I called the commission. I said, what's the rule on having somebody walk out with you? And they gave me this whole big spiel and, like, signing papers and stuff like that. And I'm like, wow, like, how does this gang? And I immediately thought of you guys. I was like, how's that gang all get to walk out at the same time?
I'm gonna put that on Nate. I think it's a Nate thing. Nate is just kind of like, I mean, we all walk out together for the most part, and then like we'll like split off before like our teammate gets into the cage. But I don't know. I'm leaving that up to Nate. Nate pretty much takes care of that. Make sure that we can all walk out together.
And tell me, Lindsay, your hair game for fights is on point every time. Ah! I'm like, damn, like this girl is proper ready to go, like on point. She don't want to look bad. Like she's ready to go. Like, so, you know, it's a cool style. So like, what made you get into that? Like changing your hair color, like.
So I mean, first of all, I want to shout out Jess, the girl who does my hair. She's awesome. I will post her on, I'll tag her in my Instagram. I can't remember what her Instagram name is, but she does hair braiding, and I connected with her through my buddy Josh, because he's a barber at Lion King's Barber. And so she has braided my hair. I think there was one time she didn't braid my hair, but she's braided my hair for the last like three fights. And she always comes up with something cool. She can do literally anything that I ask her to. And she's just a huge supporter, which means a lot to me. And she loves, like, she watches all my fights, which I think is cool. And she actually started, like, coming to the gym and started doing, like, kickboxing and everything. So, like, watching her, like, develop and, like, love the sport in the same kind of way is pretty cool. And she's always like, you know what, no matter what, I'll be there to braid your hair. Like, I'll make the time. I'll figure it out. And so I've changed the color, and honestly, it's not my actual hair. Like it's extensions, because my hair, I have the undercut, so my hair isn't like, it's not super thick. So if I didn't get the extensions, it would look really, really thin, and I just wouldn't like the way that it looked. So I do the extensions just to make sure that it doesn't look bad, essentially. But the different colors have been like, I mean, I did blue, I think twice, because blue is evolution colors.
I thought the green was badass.
Yeah, the green. I think that's the one I'm doing next. I'm definitely doing green next. Green. I want to do green and blue at one point, but I just felt like with the shorts that I picked, I wanted my hair to match my shorts. I may be an MMA fighter, but I'm still very much a girl. So I wanted my hair to match my shorts is like color wise. So that's why I did pink. And I thought the pink looked really sick anyways. I felt like I looked like a Mortal Kombat character. So I just have a lot of fun. I mean, I'm a girl. I like stuff like that. I love getting, that's probably my favorite part too. I'm always like really excited to get my hair done for the fights.
Well, that's like, you know, like a typical thing. Like, I mean, it's like goes for a woman and a guy. Like, yeah, if you go to a wedding, you don't want to be that guy that have the straggly hair, or yeah. You go to like me, I go to Cage Titans. It doesn't matter if my hair was already cut. I got to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Or
exactly.
Things like that. Like, you got to look fresh to death. Like, that's
exactly.
What you got to do. So, I suggest to you, if you're going for a title fight, you should do the green and blue.
Yeah, that's honestly what I was waiting for. If I do a title fight, I'm going to do green and blue, like green on one side, blue on the other side. I've had this plan for a while now. So I'm like, ready for it. I'm like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I already have the pattern or like the design laid out. I'm like, this is going to look sick, because I just think the green is so vibrant. It looks so cool.
Man, like you got it on point for everything.
Yeah.
So with the art of scrap, like, what was the hardware there?
Oh, the little belt that I got. So I did, they have, I don't know if they do this every time, but when we went out there and I didn't end up getting an opponent, they were doing I forget what it's called. It's IKFPKB, like, so like a point kickboxing, like sparring or tournament essentially. So I went out and did, so Tyler and I both did the kickboxing tournament because we didn't have opponents. So it was held the same day. It was held in like a different area, because like the Coliseum that it's held in, it's freaking huge. So it was held in like a completely different area, like kind of like down below where they have like a like smaller events. And it was just point kickboxing sparring essentially. We wore headgear and shin guards and everything, and I sparred against two girls from the Lee Brothers gym, and they were great. They were super awesome. One of the girls actually signed up like last minute, because she basically was like, I didn't want to like sign up to spar against like my teammate. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. And she came to me and was like, would it be okay if I joined? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm here for the experience. I'm here to like work with like other females, because I don't get as many opportunities to work with females up here. So I thought it was wicked cool. And I signed, it was like, the way that the classes worked, it was like class A, class B, and class C or something like that. And I was in class A, which was like more than 2 years of experience, like X, Y, and Z. And so for that specific class, they had belts. So I got the belt. That was why I had this, which it's on my mantle now.
You gotta so put that in the gym.
Thing.
You gotta put that in the gym, man. That's some hardware. You gotta show all that to everybody.
I know. I immediately, once I got it, I ran to Nate and I was like, Nate, check it out. I got a belt.
That's awesome. So I'm going back to what you said with the, you know, the difference between a real-time MMA fan and, I don't want to say part-time because there isn't such a thing, but, you know, there's the real MMA. Like, I see it in the background, the good and bad. Like, some people don't see, hey, like, somebody's doing something against somebody and, you know, there's some different problems. And people don't see that. They just go to the fight and they enjoy the fight, which is all well and good. Then you see the real stuff that's like, well, damn, like, I didn't know that gym was doing shady stuff, or that gym doesn't get along with this gym, or whatever like that. But for the most part, it's good. And a good interview I had was with a guy, Mike Rodriguez, who was a UFC fighter himself. And he said, fuck all the bullshit. Like, New England just got to stick together and run this shit. And I think slowly but surely that is happening right now. And it's just like, you know, like, you got you guys in Maine, like, you guys are pretty much the vocal point over up there. And Massachusetts is just massive. We have Lozon, we got Gracie, we got all that stuff. And Connecticut's on the rise. They're really doing their thing. So it's like, do you feel the same way, like, that New England just needs to band together and not have, like, the beef? I mean, you know, fight each other, but, you know, combine forces and kind of just like, we're New England, we're here, we'll take on Cali, we'll take on the Midwest, we'll take all that stuff.
I think my coach Nate, he puts it in a good way. Like, basically, we're all doing the same sport, right? Like, whether we have beef with somebody or not, we're all doing the same sport. Like, you can be like, you can talk shit, you can do whatever you want before the fights, and once you get in the fights, you're gonna try to hurt each other. That's the whole point of the sport, right? But at the end of it, we both went into the cage, we both walked out of the cage. Like, we're doing the same sport at the end of the day, and that's what matters. We're all there, maybe for different reasons, but again, the beef part of it, I don't think it's that important. I mean, obviously, like, I mean, we see in the UFC, the people who talk the most shit get the most views, which is kind of like, I don't know.
Which,
one of my favorite fighters, and he's one of the most, like, respectful dudes out there. Like, you'll watch him before a fight, like, go over and, like, shake all of his opponent's coach's hands. Like, he's a very mm-hmm. respectful, and he's very, like, popular because he's one of the best. But it's the things like Strickland and Du Plessis or whatever recently, like, that kind of, like, mouthy, like, oh my God, like, look at them, they're getting into a fight in the crowd. That's the stuff that, like, sells, right? So that's why people like to promote that. But at the end of the day, I think it's important to recognize that, again, we all do the same sport. We're all there for that reason. And we're all people. We all have lives. We all have lives outside of this. We're all human beings. So it's corny, but I think the other interesting part is that New England's so isolated from like the rest of the country. We're very much in our own little, like, area. And I think that might have something to do with it. We're not necessarily all going out. Like, we're lucky to be able to go out to Indiana, but it doesn't happen that often. Like, a lot of, like, Cage Titans fighters fight for Cage Titans. And, like, a lot of, like, New England or NEF fighters, like, fight for NEF. We're one of the gyms. It's us and, like, a couple of other places that really, like, go around and fight at different promotions. But we all kind of stay in the New England area. So I feel like if there was more, like, outsiders, if we were, like, closer to, like, the middle of the United States, or even, like, on the other end of the United States, it would be different. Because that maybe we would be a little more like, all right, us versus them. But I think because we're so isolated and not a lot of people come to New England for that reason, I think that's part of the reason why we all get, like, so, like, beefy with each other. Because, like, who else are we going to beef with? You know what I mean? And it's a sport where we fight each other. So, like, there has to be some sort of, like, I want to kill you, you want to kill me. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I don't know. It's interesting.
It is. And, seeing, Tyler Smythe, who is a very quiet person, going with Mitch Raposo, and I was like, damn, like I've never heard this kid's I can barely talk to him about talking about where to go get spaghetti. He every single fight he asked me, where can I get good spaghetti? I send him the same exact place every time and he never goes. I said, dude, you go on the highway and you just take a left. Like that's all you gotta do, bro. And it's funny. And is it he it, that dude's a trip, man. Like he won't open up to you till he gets to know you. And that's what I respect about Tyler. He's a very respectful person. And again, Julian and all the guys who come to Cage Titans, and you guys are the same way. You guys are respectful, you guys shake hands, and like you guys
And
may have some.
that's Nate. Nate, like I said, Nate preaches that. He preaches the whole like after the end of the like after the fight, you guys can hug it out if you want, be friends, but always be respectful, whether you win or lose. Like win or lose respectfully. Like, yes, Tyler talks a lot of shit, but at the same time, like everybody talks shit. Like a lot of people talk shit. And at the end of the day, after the fight is over, there's like that's it. So you might as well be a decent human being afterwards. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and what battles your teammates had this year too, alongside you. I mean, like I said, I talked about Mo fighting Peter Barrett. That was one of the best fights of the year. Then you had Tyler fighting Raposo. Not the best result for him, but he was on a tear where he just was beating the ever-living shit out of people. And he wasn't doing it every 5 months. He was doing it two or three times like in a short span. So it was good to see. Like, that's what the good thing about this for me is I consider you guys like family. When you come on my show, like your family, because like you took the time to come out and, like then it makes me feel like, hey, like let me see if Lindsay's fighting. Hey, let me see if Tyler's fighting. Hey, let me see if Julian's fighting. Like it's a good all around mix. And that's the same thing that we have as media. It's like, am I in this just to get views, or am I in this to literally talk to these people and see what their life's about, see what they're doing next? Which is my next question. What are you doing next?
In life or in fighting?
I'm both.
Both. So I know that we're trying to get something for February 3rd, which is the NEF card in Portland. I don't know if it's gonna happen, but we're trying. And then I think Nate said possibly, I think he said possibly the 24th. I'm not 100% sure yet. Like I said, he doesn't really like once he has something, he'll come and talk to us. So maybe the 24th, and then I believe April is Indiana. Nate plans stuff like months out in advance. Like probably like a good 3 to 4 months out in advance. Artist Grab happens twice a year, I think. So October and in April are usually out in Indiana. That's the end of April. So I know we're definitely gonna do that. I'm hoping to get an opponent for out there because I love going out there, but I haven't heard anything yet. So that as far as like fighting goes, that's what that entails. I don't know when's the next time we're gonna be down in Cage Titans. He gets on like different, like I said, he plans stuff out like months in advance, and it's a lot of times like promotions will have fights like 2 weeks out from each other. So it's like we can't really if one person's fighting for this promotion, they can't fight for that one like 2 weeks out unless they like really want to. It's not something we haven't done before, but it's just not something we do all the time. So it's really more of a timing thing. But the good thing is about going to like multiple different promotions. I mean, we have three in New England that we go to. It gives us the opportunity and to like get as many matchup as possible for all of our guys and for me, which is cool. So, I mean, that's pretty much what we got going on. I'm excited. I can't wait to be back in the cage. Every time I get out of the cage, I'll like watch my fight and be like, oh my God, I did this wrong. I did this wrong. I could have done this better. All right, I need to get back in the cage so I can like do better than I did last time. So I just get really excited to get back in there. Every time it's addicting. I don't know where I came from. Nobody in my family is like this. I don't know why I'm like this, but I just am. But I mean, I'm hoping to for as far as like life goes, I'm graduating college in May, which I'm
Good for
so
you.
I cannot wait to be done with school. It's been a long, I think, well, I mean, I started college in 2018, fall 2018.
What
So
did
I
you
was
major in?
Communications. So it took me forever to decide that too. I was very indecisive. I thought I was going to transfer out of USM for a long time, and because of the whole fighting thing, I ended up just staying in Maine. But my original plan was to move out of Maine to go somewhere else. But fighting is what really kept me here, because I love my gym and I don't, like, I can't see myself going anywhere else. So I love that. But I just can't wait to be done with school. I mean, with the pandemic and everything, it just totally threw everything off course and made the college thing go way longer than it should have. So I'm excited to graduate. That's like the big thing that I'm looking forward to.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thanks.
That's a good, that's some good hardware to have too. A degree is the most important thing.
Yeah.
When you can afford it though.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So, you know, NEF is a big spot for not only you guys, but, you know, that's where Maine comes to see fights in NEF. And, you know, New England, I work with them. New England MMA, they always are up there. They're always there to support all you guys. And they love the Maine fighters because you guys, like, you represent the state of Maine. They pretty much represent the state of Maine because they're up there. So, I mean, it seems like you guys just all, it all meshes together. And that's what I love about, you know, working with Cage Titans. I've been doing it since Cage Titans. Let me see. 50. Mm-hmm. So it's like you meet all these people and you meet, like, yes, like, I want you to get into the UFC. If you don't, that's okay. If I see you in CES, I see you over here, over here, over here. I'm just glad that, like, I see the positivity of this instead of the negative, like, well, this guy's losing, he sucks. No, you didn't see who he fought before. You did. That's what the thing with records too, Lindsay, too, is you could see a person fight a person who's 8-0. You beat them. Then it's like, oh, well, I just fought a person who's 8-0 and I won. So, you know, the records, like, they do mean something, but it's who you fought and what you did during that fight. Like, oh, wow. with you, like, in March, I totally saw, like, I was like, okay, like, good win, good shit. Like, you knocking her out. And then come to when you felt Michelle Rodriguez and you won in split decision, like, you had a good all-around game. You didn't need to, I don't know if you wanted to, but I'm sure you did essentially fuck her up. But, you know, like, you know, you won by your skill, not just knockout. And that, again, that's a real fan thing in a casual fan. So I will use the Leon Edwards and Colby Covington thing where I don't like Colby Covington. I don't want him on my show anyways, but, you know, using that stuff, like, people said that was a boring fight. And it's like, what's boring about it? Like, you're going to have fights like that. And Leon Edwards fought well. And they're like, oh, well, it was a title fight. I said, okay, so do you want just a bloodbath? Like, I mean, like, yes, again, I'm going to go back to Mo and Pete. They fought, they beat the ever-living shit out of each other. Like, literally beat the shit out of each other. Could have went either way, and, you know, it's what happened. But, damn, like, that's one you see, and then you see a Leon Edwards, and it's like, they're only worried about the buck they spent to see this fight. And that's what I don't agree with, and I'm sure you're the same way.
Yeah, no. It speaks to, like, the people who only see MMA, like, even at, like, a UFC level, it's just, like, wins and losses, because it's so much deeper than that. And you're right, some people will, like, you could be, like, 5-5 or 5-6 or whatever it is as an amateur, and then you go out and you do really well as a pro. But it's, like, if you don't test yourself as an amateur and you don't, like, take the hard fights and take the fights that you could possibly lose, then how are you going to know who you are as a fighter if you don't really test yourself? You know what I mean? So
right.
It's one of those things where at a local level, especially as an amateur, I mean, even as a pro, if you're not taking the hard fights, then you're not really testing yourself. And I mean, knock whoever you want. Like, obviously it was a tough loss for Tyler against Mitch, but he still took the fight. You know what I mean? He took the fight and he went out there, and that's more to be said than anybody else that was sitting in the crowd. You know what I mean? Not like MMA fighters. I'm just saying, like, the regular people, like, they can say what they want, but, and it's the same thing with Mo. Like, yeah, Mo lost the Barrett fight, but he went out there and put on a show. And I've never seen I've never heard Cage Titans that freaking loud before. Like, that place erupted when that fight was going on.
So I'm sure, you know, me and Pete are good friends and stuff like that. And you know, like it was, like you said, it was deafening loud, because I went to the toward the cage because it was so unbelievable. Mo was throwing knees, Pete was throwing knees, they were throwing elbows at each other. Every single arsenal they all had was all in that cage, and I really thought it was gonna just keep going, and then the result is whatever. But you know, it was just a great fight, and you know, there was a lot of lead up to that fight too. But it, just an unbelievable fight, and I gave Mo credit for what he did, and again, fought hard, and then just was like continuing on his career and fighting who he needs to fight. So.
That's the thing. That's all you can do. When you take a loss like that, you just have to take the lessons that you learned from it and like figure out what you could have done differently and then move on from it. It's not like it does nothing to like dwell on it. Like I said, digest it, figure out what you did wrong, but then move on from it and use that to better yourself as a fighter, like in future fights, which I think Mo has definitely done, which is important. And if you, again, if you don't take those hard fights, you don't put yourself in that position where you could lose, then you'll never really, like, the first time you're really tested, you're not going to know what to do with yourself. You know what I mean? And I think another important thing that I have ESPN Plus, and one of my favorite things when I'm watching UFC fights is like the statistics, like
Oh
the
yeah, I love that. Yeah,
yeah.
same.
I think during the Mo fight, I think Nate said that the amount of strikes that they threw was insane. I don't remember the number specifically, but they threw so many strikes during that fight. It was actually really impressive. But then I look at a fight like the Leon Edwards and Covington fight, and it's like when you look at the statistics, Leon's accuracy was insane during that fight. And that's
Yes.
not something a lot of people who like really truly understand the sport can appreciate. And like, don't get me wrong, I thought the fight was super disappointing. I was expecting way more. I was expecting way more. I think Leon did a great job. I was expecting way more out of Colby to like talk as much shit as he did, and then to like go out and like almost kind of do stuff. It was just I was just kind of like waiting for it and waiting for it and waiting for it. And then I was like, all right, nothing really happened. But I mean, Leon did a great job, and again, his striking accuracy was insane during that fight if you look at the statistics. And I think there was a fight earlier on that card. It was a female fight. There was like, I think like 277 like leg kicks to like the girl's lead
Yeah.
leg. Those stats were insane. But again, all people see is just two girls beating the shit out of each other, when in
Right.
reality, they don't understand how like insane those statistics actually are. So I think that's another level of the game that just people don't necessarily appreciate on that level. You know what I mean?
That's the thing with Colby is I literally thought Leon was gonna keep kicking so hard to that right knee that I thought he was going to kick into his kneecap. Like that's how bad he was, and that's what his accuracy was. He was kicking on point that one spot, and it was amazing. And people don't see that little piece to the puzzle to
No,
get
exactly.
that win. And
It's
it
all
wasn't
about like
very nice what he said, Colby said to him.
what did he say? Oh, the comment that was made during the what was it, the press conference, that
Yeah.
you could, I mean, even when he said it, you could tell that he didn't want to say it. But again, at that like level and that stage, when you talk more shit, you get more views and the UFC gets more money. So like, it's just one of those things where I don't think he was actually talking like that to, I don't think he meant it. I think he was just trying to get views. I literally think that's all it was. I think it was a super low blow. Everybody agrees. Everybody said that comment was really shitty. So
I think he's going to lose a lot of fans on that one.
yeah, 100%, 100%.
Wasn't a fan anyways, but dude can fight.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah.
So for you, like, is your, like, what is, I hate fucking saying New Year's resolutions. Like, fuck that. You have something every day. So like for you, I know you want to finish college and stuff like that. I mean, do you want to like go pro at some point, or are you waiting for your coaches to kind of guide you into that decision?
I would really like to fight for a title or two before I go pro. I'm gonna go pro at some point. It's just a matter of when, not if. I really do want to fight for a couple of titles before that. There's a couple of other things I need to sort out, but I mean, I don't like the whole like New Year's resolution. If you like wait until one part of the year to like acknowledge the undisciplined and like bad habits that you have to correct them, you're always going to fall off. You're going to, it's the same reason why gyms are packed for the month of January and like maybe into February, and then everything dies down again. Like
that's true. I never thought of it that way.
So annoying. It's like it's every gym person who goes to the gym like on a regular basis, like on a day-to-day basis throughout the year, hate this time of year, because everybody who's like, oh, my New Year's resolution is to go to the gym, everyone goes, and then after like 4 weeks of not being able to use machines or it always being super busy, everyone just dies off. And if you wait until New Year's to be like, oh, I want to go to the gym, or I want to eat better, or I want to do this, I want to do that, you're not going to stick to it. It needs to be like a, it can't be like a, oh, in January, I'm going to do this. It needs to be like a, oh, if I'm feeling this way in July, I'm going to do it in July. Or if I'm feeling this way in September, I'm going to do it in September. And I think living as a fighter, that kind of emphasizes it, because I'm still like, I get into really good habits and I fall off, but I'll get back onto them. So I'm still actively all the time working on like being a better person and growing as a person and as a fighter, as a friend, like all of it, throughout the entire year. So when the New Year's came around, I didn't feel like I needed to make a resolution, because I felt like, all right, there's some things I need to work on, but I knew this already, so I don't need to be like, oh, this is my New Year's resolution. So that's just kind of how I feel about that. But my biggest thing is I just want to graduate. I just want to be done with school. Once I don't have to worry about school, because like doing school full time, working two jobs and being a fighter, I have like 8 hours to sleep and that's it. That's my social life. Like I don't have a lot of free time. So
oh,
I think
cool.
Once I get done with school, I'll be much more settled into the process of fighting and work and all of that stuff. So that's the biggest reason I'm excited for that. But I would really like to, as a graduation present to myself, I would really like to go to Thailand at some point this year, towards the end of the year.
Very cool.
So I think that would be super cool.
Seeing those 10-year-olds beat your ass.
I know. It's crazy.
Those kids are beasts, man. I'd be scared of them.
Yeah.
So my final question to you is, you know, what else do you want from this year? Like what's your fight goal coming along like for the year? Are you looking for like 4 fights or 5 fights, like stuff like that? Like, or just nothing on that just yet?
I mean, I'll fight as many times as I can. I'm young, so I'd like to like get as much experience as I can. And once I finish school, it's going to be a lot easier. I think a lot of times doing school while also being in a weight cut or like being in fighter camp, it's a lot to deal with. Very grumpy person, and I don't like being around people during that time because I'm usually very stressed. But once I finish school, it'll be a lot easier to focus on fighting, which I'm excited about. And I would like to fight as many times as I can. I definitely want to fight for a title or two. And eventually at some point, I mean, probably not this year, but at some point I want to go pro. So that's like the goal. And I mean, I want to take it as far as I can take it. I'm not saying my goal is UFC. I'm not saying my goal is like PFL or anything like that. My goal is to like be the best person I can be and to be the best like fighter I can be. And I want to, and that's, fighting has made me a much better person, and I've grown like exponentially since I've started fighting. And I just like the lifestyle. I just like the people I'm around. They're good people. They have their heads screwed on straight. Like I don't fall into like the wrong, I've been in the wrong crowd. I've been a part of the wrong crowd. I've been with people who don't care about me. I've been with people who like just treat me like garbage. And fighting is what really gave me the confidence to leave those situations and to, how do I want to put this, to hold myself in a higher standard and to not accept certain things, which is really important. And I think that's what fighting is all about. Like, and I think, I mean, my coach Keegan, he said this too. I mean, he said like, it shouldn't be about making to the UFC. It should be about living your best life essentially. And it's kind of corny because it's like, oh, you want to live your best life. But like, genuinely, that's what it is. Like, I don't want to, I've seen a lot of people go down really bad roads, and there's nothing you can do. If a person's going to go down that road, there's nothing you can do about it. And I don't want to be one of those people. I want to take this as far as I can. And ever since I've started fighting, I've just felt like I've kind of belonged here. And maybe it's the gym. Maybe it's just like my anger issues. I don't know. I love fighting. I always want to be doing this for as long as I can. And if when I can't fight, I'll do just jiu-jitsu. When I can't do jiu-jitsu, maybe I'll coach someday. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things that it's just such a community, and it's a community that I want to be a part of for the rest of my life. So.
Awesome. That's good goals right there. So my next thing is, how can everybody follow you, you know, to see your hair adventure, your next event and all that stuff? How can they follow you?
I have an Instagram. I have, my Facebook is more private. It's more just like for family, but my Instagram is, lins.mma.k3. And that's where I post all of my fighting stuff. I still have some t-shirts available if anybody wants to buy them. I feel like I should plug that. And I also want to shout out my sponsor, John Jabbar. He's my boss at one of my jobs. He's like such a huge supporter. He paid for the shirts. He's just such a good dude. He's a big UFC fan, and I love him to death. He's been a great boss, and I can't wait to go back to the porthole in the summertime. And I have to shout him out. But him and then Dylan at Evo, nobody better. He's a massage therapist, essentially. He's helped me a lot. And he never makes me pay for anything, which is super cool. So I just feel like I should shout him out. But he's awesome. He does really good work. He's helped me with like any sort of like back problem I've had or neck problem or anything like that from Nate beating me up mostly. But he's awesome though. And then of course I wanted to shout out Jess as well, because she's the one who does my hair. So if anybody wants help or anybody wants their hair braided, message me on Instagram and I'll connect you with Jess, and I'm sure she'd love to work with you. So
awesome. And tell Tyler Smythe he still owes me a shirt from a year ago. Mm-hmm. let him know that. Tell him to watch the show and tell him to watch the end.
Okay. I'll let him know.
Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for coming on the show. Always great to see you. And I hope to see you either at Cage Titans or if I make a trip up there, either way. And I definitely will see you soon. And thank you so much again for coming on.
Sure. Thank you for having me. It was cool. It was cool to talk to you again.
Anytime. So everybody, this is Maddie C. Lindsay Kelly, look out for her this year, 2024. Good stuff's happening. After she graduates, somebody is in deep shit.
Hell yeah.
All right, we will see you later, Lindsay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for watching Maddie C's Sports. Follow Maddie C's Sports on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Also follow Matt Cameron 23 on X.
What the fuck is up? They ain't touching me for nothing. Gang shit is not my business. I ain't not the one to fuck with. I bring the flow with lyrical stamina, rapping a million miles. One pun on my animal, then I'm a cannibal, taking my pick and I pounce.
Maddie C's Sports is a co-Sinister One production.